It is wonderful to be back with each one of you and worshiping together this morning. And I probably did something wrong there. Just most appreciative of all of you that came together to make this last summer a possibility for myself and for my family. For those of you that stepped up and filled in different roles, just a huge thank you. And just for you as a church, for your willingness to allow that to happen, it's a gift that we will never forget. So thank you very much. Some of you may remember, some of you were here, some of you were not. 10 years ago this last week, my wife and I and our family rolled onto Walnut Street, which Nelson had set up a house for us to live in. And we rolled in there with a big trailer, and about 10, 15 minutes later, all of a sudden, all these people we didn't know started coming and unloading this trailer and helping us get stuff set up. And it's been 10 years now that we have been serving together here at Fairland. And I just thought it was kind of neat as I was thinking this last week about some of the stuff that's happened during those 10 years. God has been so faithful to our church and to our congregation, and we've seen the fruits of His goodness. And just in this last week, I spent a little bit of time, for those of you that like statistics, I pulled out all of our old congregational reports and added up some statistics. It was just some interesting stuff. As a congregation, in the last 10 years, we have witnessed, we have seen, we know of 125 people that have given their life to Christ for the first time or recommitted their lives to Christ at a pivotal point in their lives. And that's pretty amazing. We've witnessed together. Yeah, amen. We witnessed together, both here and over in the old sanctuary, 60 different baptisms that have taken place. We've walked with 30-plus families when they've gone through very difficult times of the loss of a loved one. You guys are an incredible congregation with setting up meals and taking care of and showing love and cards and all that kind of stuff. And you guys have done this so well. In the last 10 years, we've dedicated 19 babies or children here at the church. We've celebrated along with 33-plus couples and weddings here at the church. We've been involved in the community in new ways in these last 10 years. Just this summer, I know that the Missions Outreach team hosted a couple of the community nights. We've connected with the Fresh Start and the homeless shelter. In the last 10 years, we've seen two different floods kind of come through our area, and we've been able to help those in our church and also in our community, responding to the community and their needs. Some of you are involved in actively serving in the food kitchen in Lebanon. So there are a whole bunch of different ways that we have just seen God's faithfulness as we serve together. And I think that's pretty awesome and pretty amazing. We've seen God's faithfulness as we as a church took a big step and not just planned for, but executed the addition of this building and the renovation of the old and the transition in so that we would have a facility to help expand the ministries that we do and hopefully better connect and meet the needs of our community. This is just some of the highlights of what God has been doing in the last 10 years as we've had the opportunity to serve together. And I think we need to give God another round of applause. So thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be a part of Fairland and what you guys have been doing well before we were ever here and will do well beyond wherever when we're gone. In the time that we have left this morning, I want to just share a couple different things with us. We're going to kind of look at three different areas. First of all, I'm just going to take a couple minutes and share with you a little bit about our sabbatical. I know a few of you have been asking about that, what we were up to and that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to take just 2 minutes to do that. And then we're going to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 12. And we're going to talk about Paul and some of the stuff that Paul is dealing with in those two particular chapters. And then from there, I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to share with you a little bit of a personal journey that I've been on for the last 2.5 years. And then from there, we're going to wrap things up by kind of just talking about the movement forward, what we're going to be doing this fall and into next year. So that's kind of where we're going. I'm going to start by sharing with you just a little bit about the last 3 months. The last 3 months entailed a whole bunch of different things, which was really fun. Things from, I had a number of different seminars and conferences and webinars, all related to kind of church leadership kind of things that I really enjoyed doing and going to and participating in. They're very helpful to be able to just kind of focus in on those things. There were 3 different books that were a part of my sabbatical time away that I ended up reading through. Again, all kind of working on that church focus. One of those books was one that Stacy Schreffer actually suggested to our church board as a whole to read. And this month we're going to be spending some time working through. It's 7 different questions that every church should be asking themselves. It's a book called Lasting Impact. Because we want to make a lasting impact as a church. We had some time to just travel as a family. We spent 5 or 6 days up in Blue Mountain, Ontario with my parents and just hung out and had a great time. We spent 5 or 6 days in Dayton, Ohio with Rachel's family. We were able to be there for Grandpa's 90th birthday celebration, which was fantastic. Just a side note, be praying for Dayton, Ohio in that area. In May of this year, right at the end of May, that area was hit by 15 different tornadoes. Pretty devastating as we drove through some of the areas within minutes of where we lived. Just houses completely gone. And then while we were there, we were 11 minutes, where we were staying was 11 minutes from where the shooting took place. So they lost numerous lives in that mass shooting. And then they've had several other just devastating, smaller situations, all part of these last 3 months. So it's a place that's near and dear to Rachel and my heart as she grew up there, and that's where we started our life together as well. So we'll be praying for them. There was just a great time of some rest, which we quite enjoyed. Just being able to spend time hiking and biking, and Rachel and I kind of got into beekeeping this spring, and so we were messing around with 150,000 bees in the backyard, and we're great neighbors to have, by the way. It was a time of spiritual renewal, to be able to go and visit other churches and not have any responsibilities on a Sunday morning, to go and to just be able to worship, to be ministered to by many different churches, was a really impactful thing for myself. And then lastly, one of the things I probably enjoyed right up there almost the most was I met with about 10 different pastors over the course of the summer and just picked their minds on things from staffing to structure, just hearing their stories of ministry, what they've learned in their time of ministry. These are all pastors that have been in ministry as long as I have or longer in many cases. So just having them kind of share for a couple hours in most cases some of their stories with me was just really, really encouraging. So I just, again, I just say thank you for this opportunity that you guys made available to us this last summer. It's a summer that we certainly will not forget. During my time away, God certainly placed on my heart the need to share a piece of my story with you that most of you would not know. So we're going to do that, but we're going to do that in a few minutes. Before we do that, we're going to look at Paul, and we're going to look at a little bit of Paul's life and his story. So where we're going to look first, as we talk about Paul, is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you're taking notes, I just want you to, you can write down the point that goes up on the screen here. The Apostle Paul suffered many trials by the hand of man. That's where we're going to start. And that's going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. But I don't want you to actually turn there, because I want to read this to us out of the version of the Message this morning. So I just want you to listen as I read those particular verses to us this morning. According to the Message version, it says this. And these are the words of Paul. He said, I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at the death door time and time again. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks 1 time. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for night and day. I've had hard times traveling year after year. I've had to forge rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, and I've been blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it, he goes on to say. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches. So I think that as we listen to this passage, we would probably all agree that what Paul has gone through in his life, he has certainly faced and had to deal with hardships, trials, with great suffering, whatever words you want to use there. Is that a fair assumption that we would all agree? It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there for Paul. In addition to all that Paul suffered by man, Paul suffered some type of trial by the permission of God as well. Paul called it a messenger of Satan and begged God to remove it from him, this thorn in his flesh. Yet God chose to allow Paul to suffer with this affliction, whatever this affliction was. So I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 now. It's going to be page 822 if you're using one of the church Bibles. And we're going to go down to verse 7. And starting in verse 7, Paul says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." There are many, many different speculations as you read different commentaries or listen to different, or read different books on Paul's life as to what that thorn in his flesh was. Some people think that it could be a physical thing. Some people think it was an internal kind of thing. And the word flesh that's used there could go either way. Some people think that it may have been his vision, a sight issue. I read this week somebody saying that it was migraine headaches. Some people think it was some sort of temptation, maybe a spiritual temptation or a sexual temptation. But we're not told clearly in our text or any other text what that thorn was that Paul faced. Whatever the thorn was, it's clear that it was chronic and it was debilitating to his ministry and the responsibilities that went along with his ministry. Even without knowing the exact nature of the problem, there's a lesson that we can all learn that applies to us today. Paul endured this trial which caused him to depend more on the Lord. The thorns, plural, in our lives can deepen our dependency on Christ. He was told by Christ that the affliction, the thorn, was to show the power of God through a weakened life. When we are weak, when we're sick, in need, when we're persecuted, or distressed for Christ's sake, then God can show Himself strong for our benefit and for His glory. And so often that's the way it works. Whether we like it or not is another story. But so often that's the way it works. God told Paul that His grace was sufficient. It was sufficient for Paul, and God's grace is also sufficient for us today as well. Nothing has changed in regards to God's grace since this took place with Paul. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient for you? Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient for me? I want us to declare that together this morning, that God's grace is sufficient for me. Would you say it with me? God's grace is sufficient for me. Will you allow God's grace to satisfy you today? See, I can't imagine all the sufferings that Christians are enduring around the world today. Can't even wrap my mind around some of these countries and what believers face day in and day out. Some have physical thorns in their sides that they live with daily. Others suffer just tremendous persecution from the world around them. Persecution to the degree that we will never be able to comprehend without being in it ourselves. Many of us have great pain and loss that we endure from time to time, for seasons of our lives, perhaps. Now, I know that there are some here today that have a thorn in their side. They're suffering, they're hurting. His grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. We're going to put that on the screen, and we're going to leave that on the screen for the rest of our time now as a reminder to us. His grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. Whatever your trial is today, trust in the grace of God to be sufficient. Go to Him in prayer. Read His Word. Allow Him to be all that you need in order to endure the trying time that you're going through. Like Paul, allow your trial to deepen your dependence on God. That's the good that can come from the difficulties that we face in life, is that it can put us in a totally different place in regards to our walk with Jesus Christ. But we have to choose, as followers, to trust God through those trying times. To trust that He does have the best in place for your life. That's the God we serve. I think sometimes it's helpful to know as well that you're not alone in your suffering. I can guarantee you that there are people sitting in this building that are going through difficulties, that are suffering this morning as they walked in the door. There's probably people in your section. There's probably people in your row that are suffering in some way, shape, or form this morning. 2.5 years ago, it's hard for me to talk about. 2.5 years ago, life began changing in my mind, in my head. I just had this overwhelming feeling of sadness. Just really down about life. And here's the kicker. There was no reason for it. I pastor at this amazing church. I love the people that I work with. I love what God was doing. That time we had just moved into our new facility, and that was a big accomplishment that we accomplished together. Family life, it's great. Everyone's healthy and doing well, and yet I just became overwhelmed with this sadness. That for months I tried to fight myself. My wonderful wife encouraged me multiple times, go see a doctor. There's help for this. And in my stubbornness, I didn't go see a doctor. I can fight this myself. I can beat this myself. Several months later, I did what my wife told me to do. Right? Should have started there. Maybe that's the note for the take home for today. I went and saw my doctor and decided, as we were talking, that this idea of depression has entered into my life. Through a really long and what seemed like incredibly slow process, I was eventually able to figure out an antidepressant to be on that seemed to be helping. The greatest and most amazing part to me of this whole thing is just the love of my family during that time. I wasn't a fun person to be around at home. I could try to put on a good face on a Sunday morning. I could put on my smile. But I was just eaten up on the inside. Now here's a little that I think, looking back at it now, and I think my wife might agree looking back at it now, a little side note of a little piece of humor in the midst of all this. Early on in this process, probably before I'd gone to the doctor, or at least before there was any relief coming from medications, I received in the mail just a normal mailing that comes from our insurance company, and it's through the life insurance company that we have, and it was an opportunity to increase the amount of life insurance that we have for a very small amount. And so I decided that this would be a good thing to go online and sign up for. So one Saturday night, I think it was, I was down on the computer and I'm signing up for this, and Rachel comes downstairs and she's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm increasing our life insurance." That's not a great thing to tell somebody after they know that you're dealing with depression in your life. It raises other questions and creates more conversations. So I was now on a medication that seemed to be helping, and things seemed to be going well. And then I fell again.
And within just a few months, I was beginning to feel the same symptoms kind of creeping back into life, and back to the doctor I went. I didn't hesitate nearly as long this time. We made some adjustments to medication. My doctor is Kent Wagner. He's a believer in Christ as well. He said, Dustin, he said, we need to add another piece to this. He said, you need to do some Christian counseling. My job is to refer other people to counseling, not to go to it myself, right? So for the next 5 or 6 months, I continued on this plan that Dr. Kent and I worked through, and saw great improvement. And by January or February of this year, have been at the best place that I've been in years, a couple years. This is something that this is something I've talked to God about a lot. I've fought with Him about this. I begged Him to remove that thorn. But in His wisdom, that hasn't happened today. I certainly don't understand why. I'm reminded of this depression from time to time, just kind of in short lapses still. But I am. I certainly prayed for healing from this. It just doesn't seem to be what God's plan currently is. So my prayers, I think in the last 6 months, have certainly changed as I began to realize that. And my prayers kind of shifted more so towards, strengthen me, God. Walk with me. Show yourself faithful to me. One thing I've always believed in life is that God puts us on journeys for a reason. And I still believe that today. I believe that the experiences we have in life are partially there to be shared with one another as believers, as a way to encourage each other and to support one another. And over these last 3 months, I did a lot of reading and webinars and conferences, and some of them revolved around this topic of, it's called mental illness. Now, one of the interesting statistics that I came across during one of the conferences I was at said that 1 in 3 or 4 people have, are, or will experience a mental illness. It could be anxiety, it could be depression, it could be bipolar, schizophrenia, whatever that might be. There's a whole list of them. 1 in 3 or 4. And the challenge that comes along with this particular one is the stigma that goes along with it. We don't know how to talk about it. We don't know how to walk along each other with it. And most of the time, we don't even have the opportunity to do that because nobody shares it. Again, because of the stigma. It was interesting, one of the activities that we did in one of the conferences that was really eye-opening to me was the instructor said, I want you to take 1 minute, and just everybody is maybe 30 of us in this class, said, I want you to list every word that comes to your mind when I say somebody has mental illness. So people started throwing out words, and they were words such as crazy, cuckoo, loony, nutso, nut job, those kind of things. And then she said, let's talk now the same thing, 1 minute, throw out words of somebody that's fighting cancer. And the words that were thrown out were conquer, survivor, fighter. And it's just this contrast is what she was trying to see, trying to get us to see, is that this particular battle with mental illness has this stigma that goes along with it that's hard for people to even talk about it as a result of that. I think in general we just don't know how to say or what to do to somebody that's suffering from a mental illness, so we do nothing at all. And that is only if the individual actually takes the risk of sharing their struggle. I can tell you that I didn't share my struggle outside of my family for 2 years, with just a couple exceptions to that. And besides that, this would be the first time. Over the summer, one of the things God spoke clearly to me was the need to share my story with other people in hopes of letting others know that you're not alone if you struggle. Maybe your struggle is in the same realm as my struggle. Maybe it's anxiety or depression or whatever. Maybe it's in that mental illness category. But maybe it's not. Maybe you struggle in a whole different way. You're still not alone. We all struggle together. And God can and will use you. He can and will use us in amazing ways. In spite of, and maybe it's not in spite of, maybe it's actually because of the struggles that we have in our lives. Paul certainly had many known, we read through that list, and some unknown struggles that he dealt with, and there's not a person that would say that God didn't use him in incredible ways. As a result of his struggles, he became more dependent on Christ, which is something that we should all be desiring in our lives. So I ask you, what struggles are you facing today? What is it in your life, in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in your physical life? What is it in your work? What is it in your relationships that you have that has become a thorn in your flesh? Perhaps God is deepening your dependence on Him today. It's not a bad thing, but it's certainly a difficult thing. And if that's your situation, I just want you to be encouraged to the words of Christ in that passage in chapter 12 that we read. His power is made perfect in weakness. We just need to constantly remind ourselves, His grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. Those words should be an incredible hope to us as Christ followers. Because one thing that we can be certain of as we talk about Christ is the fact that He is faithful to His Word. He is faithful to His Word. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in our weakness. As a response this morning, I would encourage you guys, if you know what your struggle is, if there is a struggle in your life, and you know what that is, try to look at it differently. Try to look at it as an opportunity to deepen your relationship with Christ. And that's not easy. I'm standing up here and telling you that right now. But I believe in my God and His faithfulness. So if you're struggling with something, turn it over to God. Allow it to be that thing that allows you to deepen your relationship with Him. And then learn from it and encourage others as a result of your experience. So often, too many times, people do what I've done for the last 2.5 years. We bottle it up. We hold it. We certainly don't share it. And the things that I learned through my journey never get passed on as a result of that. So I encourage you, as you feel strong, as you feel strengthened, to share your journey. Because there's other people out there facing the exact same thing that you are. And you never know what kind of encouragement you might bring to them through a simple conversation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to You and thank You for this day. We thank You for this time to be able to worship You this morning. We thank You, Lord God, that in our brokenness You choose to use us. Help us recognize, Heavenly Father, that in our brokenness, great things can come from it. Lord God, help us to support one another, to love one another, to encourage each other. This life is too challenging to do on our own. Allow us to be Your children and to be a true family of God that walks with each other. When we hear of the struggles that somebody is going through, we don't use it against them. No, we surround them and we love them and we walk with them. Allow that to be our response that the world sees. Lord God, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing this song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And as we, like Paul, work through the trials of life, may the words of this song be a great reminder to us of the most important step that we should be taking. Turning to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.